Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And by the way, the commercial the suit does about buying local, so spot on. So spot on. Yeah. Oh, support local. Support our people in the valley. And Brewers Outlet, one of them. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar, led by the world-famous Barrels and Dills, my two favorites. That's why I mentioned them. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage is a supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Gerard Mayo is going to be introduced as the Patriots head coach officially on Wednesday. Then we'll see what that means, for example, with Bill O'Brien, because there's a lot of thought that the door is still open for Bill to remain as the offensive coordinator, because Mayo's being elevated on the staff. And we'll see what they want to do with it, but Mayo is going to be the guy that is elevated and will get the job. And of course, nothing but praise from across the board from people as to how he conducted himself as an assistant coach there. And spent his entire career with New England, in fact. I mean, really good. Just a really, really good player. Played at Tennessee. Played against Penn State in the Outback Bowl that Penn State won 20-10. So, I mean, Mayo played against the Nittany Lions. So, I broadcast a Gerard Mayo game in my lifetime. And, you look at the tape. Back then, you're looking at tape. Oh, man. He was really good. I remember when my brother asked me about, hey, the Patriots drafted this guy. What do you think? I said, Kev, this guy can flat out play. And he had a really good career with the Patriots. Really good career. I mean, he spent his whole career with the Patriots. And so I was like, okay. And now he's going to be the head coach. And the players on the team really wanted him to be the head coach. Really did. So
I think the most surprising thing about it is he's been an assistant coach, I think, for 5 or 6 years. I can't believe he's been out of the league that long.
Yeah, he's been out of the league that long. And you know what? When he does get formally introduced on Wednesday, he'll officially take over the mantra of youngest head coach in the NFL. I mean, finally Sean McVay gets to get rid of it.
He was because so Mayo's young, it's a month, like 3 years, hasn't it?
Right. Well, because Mayo's a month younger than McVay. That's how young McVay is. Yeah. Mayo's a month younger than he is. Yeah. Now it's at the point where guys, I broadcast their games and they're now head coaches in the NFL. Okay. It's like, all right. But, yeah, no, it's great for him. And we'll see what he does with the Patriots. They got a lot of work to do. They're going to change a couple things up. I mean, in terms of they're going to have a conventional general manager. They're going to have a conventional coordinator. They have not officially had the position of offensive coordinator with the Patriots since 2017, believe it or not. And also, Steve Belichick, the door is open for him to stay, it looks like. It's up to him as to whether he wants to. That's up to him. But that door is not closed either. And then we'll see what happens with Bill O'Brien. You know, and I'm always thinking on the personal level of it. I mean, Bill's going to be fine no matter what he does. Okay, that I've got. He's going to be fine no matter what. But, you know, but still, the first thing you think of is Bill, Colleen, you know, the kids, though, you know, just only because you know. You know? And so we'll see what they want to do. Then we'll find out what Bill Belichick wants to do. We'll find out what happens with Mike Vrabel. The Alabama job, the lean now appears to be Kalen DeBoer from Washington. And by the way, Dunzier and Johnson, the wide receiver and the running back, both declared for the NFL draft today. As I've pointed out many times on the show, the Washington you have watched this season, and I've said this many times as the season has gone, will not be the Washington team you see next year because they have so many guys leaving. I mean, 16 of those starters, I believe, are out in one form or another, whether it's the draft or their time has finally, on the collegiate level, ended.
I read a story this week. I wasn't sure I realized that their collective paid for most of those guys to come back for this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. And that was the story. Remember when Dick called and I was doing the story about what the collectives meant?
Yes.
To each program? That was the point I was trying to make. That's what they did to get themselves in the ballgame. You know, how do you keep Michael Penix? How do you keep all these guys from going? Well, you know, you make it financially attractive for them to do it. And that's what they were able to do, is make it financially attractive to keep the players in one form or another. The problem with that model is simple. With the current NIL model as it sits, the question you have to ask is it sustainable? Because it's not a question of, okay, I'm Todd Hummel, I'm a big pick program that you love, and I'm going to donate, let's just pick a number, $500,000 to the collective. Well, here's the issue. You really then need to donate $500,000 the next year. Oh, and by the way, you need to donate $500,000 the year after. It's not a one-time donation. It's something that repeatedly has to happen. That's why you do question the sustainability of this model and how there needs to be some control. Pendulums swing. Forever, the pendulum was swung toward programs and head coaches. We have seen now the pendulum dramatically swing toward players in terms of NIL and movement, right? Transfer portal, NIL. They've got, quote, the power. Well, the pendulum needs to move more toward the center, where it's balanced between coaches and what they can and can't do, and players as to what they're allowed to do. There needs to be more of a balance there for the good of the game moving forward. At least I think. And that, in other words, that means that players are still getting money. Players are still getting the ability to get freedom of movement. But there has to be structure around it, and the NCAA lost control of structure. They lost control of it. Now, in this case, let's take Alabama. We're now in that 30-day window where a lot of people, a 30-day window where any Alabama player can transfer because they're changing coaches. Well, the first guy that threw his name into the transfer portal today was the guy that caught the game-winning touchdown pass against Auburn, Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver. I mean, this guy was second on the team in receiving yards, played all 14 games, and he's got 2 years of eligibility left. But he put his name into the transfer portal. He was the first one to do it. Now, does this mean Isaiah Bond is leaving? Now, remember, that doesn't necessarily mean he's leaving. But his name is in the portal. Right? I mean, his name is in the portal. He could still obviously go back to Alabama. It's not unheard of. It's happened here a couple of times. But But that's something to keep an eye on as to how many names go in. And some of them may be waiting to see who the head coach is. And the goal at Alabama is to have this thing done before the weekend is out. I mean, I'm sure they'd love to have it done today. But they'd like to have it done before the weekend's out, if it's possible. What was strange about for everybody at Alabama was the day that Nick Saban went through. He was interviewing wide receiver coach candidates in the morning and then participated in the SEC coaches conference call later that day. And they said he had his opinions, he expressed them, he was animated, expressed that, and then walked in and resigned. Really? I mean, I admire working to the end, but why would he be interviewing wide receiver coaching candidates in the morning? Wouldn't we put that off because that's the new head coach's responsibility to put the person in they want?
I think he did an interview yesterday with Reese Davis that he said he had two speeches prepared at 2:55 p.m. He still didn't know what he was going to do. He had his retirement speech and he had his coming back speech, and he decided on his retirement speech. So it doesn't sound like he's particularly all in on this, at least that little bit of the interview I saw yesterday.
Well, you know what? This is somebody. Let's take this one step further. College basketball and college football need a commissioner type. They do. And we've said this for a long time. He'd be one of the first guys I would think of that I would install and say, hey, look, you know what? Would you like to be like, let's give you, you know, we'll give you a staff, but be the commissioner of college football, of FBS college football. He'd be one of the first guys I'd call. He gets it. He understands it. He's, you know, he just left a coaching job, so he gets it from that point of view. He sees it from the player's point of view because he's fresh in it. And the same thing in college basketball. College basketball needs a guy like that, right? I mean, Mike Krzyzewski would have been perfect for it, in my opinion. Because they need that. I hate when people use the word czar. And this is the college basketball czar. Oh, for goodness sakes, okay? We're not in Leningrad, all right? Move on, okay? But some in each one of those two sports, we are in a position now where they need a leader in each sport. It would be something, it would be one of the first calls I would make would be on the football side to Saban, on the basketball side to Krzyzewski. Now, whether they would want it or not, I don't know. But each sport needs that because each sport now needs some semblance of structure and a leader that can implement the structure. That's how I view it.
And I agree with you just because I don't think it'd be the same thing as being the NCAA president either. I think you need somebody to figure out the schedule, the recruiting calendar and things like that, and this the collective and NIL stuff, just, you know, separate from rules and all that other kind of stuff.
Well, the NCAA president is not covering himself in glory, based on his statement this week about Michigan. It was fair and square. Like, over here in the back, no. Everybody had to change everything they were doing every time they played them. Really? Come on. That tells me you don't get it. Right? You don't get it. You spent too much time in the State House and not enough time talking with coaches about this. Come on. I mean, you know, I know Michigan State is not anywhere near. Look, there's a lot of things Michigan does extremely well. Let's be fair about how good Michigan is. Really like the quarterback. You really like the running backs. The fact that each one's got a little bit different. Their tight ends are really good. Their offensive line's good. Their wide receivers could be better. Their defensive front is excellent. The two linebackers, Barrett and Colson, are terrific. Johnson's an outstanding corner. Samer still is a terrific nickel. The other three players are good back there. They're good. But you know what? One thing about Michigan that's really good, right? Really good on defense. They don't miss tackles. There are very few missed tackles by Michigan's defense. That said, which players were recruited during that COVID period that played in these games? Okay? Who had to change everything they did to play Michigan because they thought they had their science? Who? Everybody down the stretch, every single team down the stretch had to think Michigan had their stuff. Everybody. And remember, Washington played Michigan State in September. You know darn well there's a really good chance that Michigan had somebody at that game. And look at the stats. Michigan taking care of opening drives, no problem, because they have quality players, but how much do they know? Oh, and Michigan scoring on its opening drives. That's where it comes into play. It's not that call that you make in the third quarter or something like that. It's the ability of Michigan to get out of the game. They were never behind in games because they're a good team. They are well coached. Let's give credit where credit's due. But that's an advantage. And this guy goes out and says it was fair and square. Hey, you know, like, why don't you understand how the game goes? Okay, this is not the State House. Okay, you're not testifying before a congressional committee. This is football. Know the game before you say something like that. And if he doesn't like me saying it, tough. I really don't care if he doesn't like me saying it. I mean, after a while, you're like, you know, really, what are you going to do? You don't like my opinion about something? Sorry, Charlie. But, you know, that statement is just like it's sitting there like you don't understand how it works. You have no idea how much time had to be put in by everybody to either change up signals, go to wristbands, start to huddle, things like that, which is completely different than we're doing because of one team. Really? I mean, everybody had to do it. Maryland had to do it. Penn State had to do it. Ohio State had to do it. Iowa had to do it. Right? Everybody had to do it. They had to put extra time in just to get ready. And by the way, and getting ready for Michigan, Michigan didn't have to change up anything they were doing. Right? You know, you're sitting there. You've got the Houston Astros sitting there in college football. That's what you got. Congratulations. I'm glad you think they won it fair and square. And you know what? And the thing is, Michigan could have won it fair and square. They are well coached. They do have a lot of talent. They are very precise what they do. They are an older team. There's a lot of things that you look at and go, you know what? You can see they're really, really good. Right? But don't sit there and say they won it fair and square. Hey, Charlie, the last half of the season, you've got people scrambling left and right, trying to come up with ways to make sure that. You got to understand the game. I mean, Michigan State almost didn't play them. Okay? Because they came out and they're like, we can't change everything in a week. We've got an interim staff. what are we going to do here? I mean, you see my point, Ty? I mean, everybody had to change something to do this. Like, oh, yeah, since everybody knew down the stretch, hey, Charlie, yo. There are certain times to comment, and there are other times where you're out of your lane. You're out of your lane on that one.
I took it to mean that I think that they're just going to try and let this quietly go away in the off season and hope everybody forgets about it by the time the summer rolls around and nothing's really going to happen about it.
Have you forgot the Houston Astros? I'm asking you, have you forgotten the Houston Astros?
No. Nothing really happened to them.
No, nothing did happen to them, but have you forgotten in terms of perception?
No.
Right? Well, guess what? Nobody's going to forget the perception of Michigan.
I was going to say, Bob Costas made an Astros joke like 3 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
It was Al Michaels.
Al Michaels did. I'm saying that is just... That was the wrong way to go. It should have been, we congratulate Michigan on winning the championship. Investigations are still underway, and I can't comment on it right now. How about that for a response?
He didn't have his PR guy with him, apparently.
Yeah, well, most politicians have him by their hip.
Yeah.
And you know. I do admire, by the way, the a lot of the proposal he has put forward. Again, I try to be fair. I'm not going to. If there's an element of praise, I'm going to praise. But that statement, I kind of sat back and go, what is wrong with you? That makes no sense. How can you be investigating this and investigating that and tell everybody, it's all good? Like, you're not in charge of the investigation. It's not all good. Okay, let the investigators tell me it's all good. That's me. That's me. But again, I mean, how much praise did I give to Michigan and how they played during that response?
A fair amount.
Yeah. Because they are good. Oh. The quarterback's terrific. The running backs are different and really good. The tight ends are great. Love the tight ends. Offensive line, really good. Wide receivers, okay. Their safeties, for the most part, are okay. Samer's still terrific nickel. Johnson's a great corner. Those two linebackers, Colson and Barrett, I can see why Colson's going to the draft. He's really good. All right, and that up front, especially Graham, terrific players. His special teams are okay. Doman's a good punter. Turner's an okay place kicker. Return game is whatever. But at the same time, you get into really close games against really good opponents. Those are those little things that make a difference. And Ohio State had to change what they were doing. I know Penn State had to change up on how they were doing things. Maryland had to change up what they were doing. I mean, you can't now throw an extra layer out there for coaching staffs to deal with late in the season and then be told, oh, yeah, no, it was fair and square. Like over here, what extra layer did Michigan deal with other than the fact that people looked at him cross-eyed and said, really? So, all right. But on the field, hey, let's give credit where credit's due. That is a really, really good football team. I mean, they played terrific in that game and played terrific all season. And I saw it firsthand. We'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, it's going to get cold, a little bit snowy, a little bit of rain, so why don't you go over to Brewers Outlet now? Stock up for the weekend. We got Penn State basketball tomorrow at 2:15. And then playoff football starting indoors with the Texans and the Browns. Then outdoors, we'll get to that in a moment, Kansas City and Miami. It's on Peacock only. I think I may bite the bullet when I get home. I mean, we're supposed to be home by 7:45 tomorrow night. I really would like to see that game, so we'll see. Then Sunday, bad conditions, Orchard Park, Buffalo and the Steelers. Ooh. Dallas and Green Bay. Then it's going to be Detroit and the Rams at Ford Field, and finally the Eagles and the Bucks. So you need to stock up now at Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle Bar, led by my two favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to the King, here are the coldest games in the history of the NFL. Number 4, 1 below zero, wind chill 23 below zero, 2008, Lambeau Field, NFC Championship game, the Giants, but Lawrence Tynes kicked the game-winning field goal in overtime. The Giants beat Green Bay 23-20. Next is 6 below zero, 2016, TCF Bank Stadium over at the Bank of Minneapolis. Great stadium, by the way. You're like, why were the Vikings playing outside? Remember, they decided to tear down the Metrodome and then build, okay, the Viking ship. And so they had to play at the University of Minnesota for a couple of years. Well, they ended up in the playoffs, and Seattle beat the Vikings 10-9. It was 6 below zero, wind chill 25 below zero in 2016. All right? Number two, 9 below zero, wind chill 59 below. Riverfront Stadium, Cincinnati, 1982, AFC Championship game. The Bengals beat the Chargers 27-7. And, of course, the most famous of all, 13 below zero, wind chill 48 below, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, New Year's Eve 1967. The Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys on the quarterback sneak by Bart Starr 21-17. So the conditions look like this. They are talking in Kansas City. Arctic front could create record-setting cold temperatures. They are talking about the kickoff temperature, the real feel kickoff temperature, at 2 below zero to start the game. The wind chill could get down to 21 below. All right? Meanwhile, in Buffalo, they're talking about high winds and the possibility of heavy snow. I mean, high winds. And we heard the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, say that she's declaring a state of emergency. There have been rumors about moving the game to Cleveland. So somebody decided to be enterprising and actually asked the NFL, are you going to move the game to Cleveland? They said, no. So far, so good. With that, we bring in a guy that will be safe, sound, and warm, the King. Do we have the King?
We do not have the King. He didn't call
what?
Yet. He didn't call yet.
He didn't called yet?
No.
No, I'm going through this whole weather thing, just, you know. It's, wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Did he forget?
I don't know, but in Buffalo, they call a game like this home ice advantage.
Bill might need more than one space heater.
You know, Bill's, that's why he told us earlier in the week, I'm bringing a space heater. Man, that may not be enough. That might not be enough. So let's just, for the heck of it, let's just take a look. We'll go to AccuWeather.com. And let's take it, let's see. First of all, we'll start out. Let's go to Orchard Park first. Orchard Park, New York. Okay. Bill also had a glowing evaluation of the stadium there, I thought. right now it's 41 degrees. Okay, 41. Sunday, high 24, and a low of 13. Yeah. So here's the forecast Sunday, as of now. Precipitation 96%, high of 24. Very windy with lake effect snow and intense squalls accumulating 6 to 10 inches. Travel will be extremely dangerous. They say during the day, 7.1 inches. This is the AccuWeather forecast for Orchard Park. Let's see, starting the night before, let's see, nighttime, 6.6 inches overnight. This is on Saturday night leading into Sunday, and then Sunday during the day, another 7 inches. Hey! That's 13 inches. And the game's not going to warp into night, but looks like it slows down Sunday night. But they're saying that the real feel is going to be 2 below. Wind average 33 miles an hour. Wind gusts 55. According to the AccuWeather forecast for Orchard Park on Sunday. Okay. Right now it's in the 40s. So that brings us to the next one. Let's go to Kansas City here. You're not exactly located. I was exact when it came to... I guess they're on the outskirts of Kansas City, but let's just take it to the next one. Let's go Kansas City. Kansas City, Missouri. Well, right now in Kansas City, Missouri, it's snowing. Okay, that's quite the start. It's snowing in Kansas City. And it looks like it's going to snow for a little while today and then taper off. So now let's get to the forecast for tomorrow night. Temperature right now is 12. So tomorrow, the high will be during the day 5. But remember, the game's at night. So at night, now this is going to be overnight. I guess we're going to have to do an hourly thing. Overnight, 10 below zero. Oh, look, there's a wind chill warning. That makes sense. Wind gust to wind average 14, wind gust to 29. So let's do hourly forecast here. So the game is what? 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central. So at 7 o'clock Central Time, it is going to be 4 below zero, real feel 28. Through the game, at the end, it gets to 6 below zero at the end, with real feel of 30 below. That's 10 and 11 at night.
I have the king on the line, sir.
Well, we just went through the forecast for Orchard Park in Kansas City. It's going to be cold. It's going to be playoff weather. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, sorry. I was a customer walked in at 2:30. So,
of course. Oh, that
and
happens.
It was kind of important, and I couldn't kick them out. So,
oh, no, I wouldn't. No. Business is business. you, in the household we grew up in, business is business.
Yeah, well, retiring's retiring, too.
Yeah, you don't quite have the fun job I do, so it's a little tough.
I have been. Yeah. So, well, Todd kicked our butts. Michigan won, so I got that one. So
I couldn't pick Michigan, sorry.
Yeah, so Todd ends up victor of the college, by far, not even close.
Well done.
Yeah, very well done.
Blind squirrel nut.
Right. and the steward is still whining, moaning, and complaining about being 21 and 21.
Is 21, unless I made a mistake, so,
look,
which
okay.
I could have, yeah, but I don't
look,
think I
the
did.
The entire world right now is spinning out of control on the axis. Bill Belichick is unemployed. Nick Saban's unemployed.
Rich.
Okay, Bill Belichick's unemployed. Pete Carroll's unemployed. Nick Saban's unemployed. The suit is employed. There's something that just doesn't quite fit. And he's whining about being 21 and 21.
Belichick cracks me up. How would you like to be Bill Belichick? Okay, goodbye, and all this stuff. He's leaving with a $12 million check.
Yeah.
He's got probably 100 voicemails and 100 job offers, and maybe I'll go to Nantucket for the weekend.
That's his place. His place is Nantucket.
Oh, Where do you think he's going to go?
I don't know. But he's 15 away from breaking Don Shula's all-time NFL wins record. I think that plays a role. So
you think?
I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it means something to him, but I think he wants another Super Bowl more than anything. He wants to prove that he can win without Tom Brady. So,
well, it's okay.
That's a big deal to him.
Well, let me put it this way. All those defenses that kept Tom Brady in games, Belichick concocted. All right, so we will come back and do our playoff predictions in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Here we go. It's the playoff edition brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, Kev, lead us off here. Get Todd involved.
Awesome. He's schooling us.
I know.
As did Matt.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just not good at this.
Yeah, that's a good possibility.
Used to be, but God darn. Medicare hit, and that's it. So I'm writing them down. Now, I apologize. This is a tough week. My secretary, Karen's mom, is really sick.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I've been trying to wear two hats here. Not going too well. So I'm writing this stuff down now. Anyway, what do you think of Gerard Mayo being named?
You know what? He's been on the staff for a long time. The players all seem to like and respect him. And it's going to be interesting to see how much of the staff he keeps. You know, the person I'm always interested in is Bill O'Brien, only because I know Bill. So I just want to make sure whatever happens with him, it turns out great for he and Colleen, and go from there.
What? The thing I don't get is Kraft gives a speech and we need to go in a new direction, and you bring in a guy who played for the Patriots and then retired and coached with the Patriots. He only knows Bill Belichick as a head coach.
Well, you know, let's start with this. They're actually going to have coordinators.
I mean,
they haven't had a defensive coordinator since 17, so he's going to do that. There's going to be a GM in charge of personnel. That's the big part.
Well, they need a quarterback. I don't care who the coach is. If they don't have a quarterback, they're not going to win. So,
well, guess what I do? I take some draft picks and whatever, and I deal it to the Bears and get the first pick. And I go after Caleb Williams.
And who would you take?
Caleb Williams.
Who?
Caleb Williams.
Right. How come nobody wants Bo Nix? I don't care.
Well, here's the difference is if you are a team that needs a quarterback because you're drafting high to begin with, there's a good chance your offensive line isn't great. I need a quarterback that can move.
Exactly. It's a new NFL. Yeah. So, guy can play. Some people think
like
he's not coming out.
No.
So, he's making a lot of money now. So.
Yep.
Who knows? Anyway, okay.
So here we go. First game is the Texans-Browns.
Todd?
I'm going to take the Texans.
Wow. I'm already scared. I got the Browns. Here we go.
I'm taking Cleveland.
Yep. Okay. Dolphins-Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Todd's got the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs. Steve-O?
Tua is going to freeze. Chiefs. It's got to be. I grew up in Hawaii.
Yeah, really.
I grew up in Hawaii. I played at Alabama. I played for the Miami Dolphins. Not a good scenario. Kansas City.
All right. The Steelers and the Buffalo Bills. Todd?
This is kind of the one I've been going back and forth with. I don't have enough guts to take the Steelers. Bills.
Oh,
I concur. I got Buffalo.
I'm going with Buffalo. I know the Steelers can run the ball, which you're going to have to do in this game. You're going to have to.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Buffalo because Josh Allen can run.
Yeah, and they're used to the weather. The weather was come to their advantage. But
yep.
So are the Steelers. So. The Green Bay Packers against the Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys.
I took the Cowboys also.
I want Green Bay. I would love to see Green Bay win. And I think they've got a shot at it, but I'm going to take Dallas because Dallas has been so good at home this year.
Yeah. Dallas has got everything to win the Super Bowl, except they can't win on the road, so
right. Whatever.
Yeah. Very strange team. Their defense has not played as well the second half. So.
No.
But they can put points up. That Lamb is great. Holy cow, is that guy good. So.
I thought drafting him was the equivalent of Cincinnati drafting Jamar Chase. In today's game, you need a guy like that.
Yeah. You have to have, coach, I did everything right, and he still beat me. You got to have that guy, you know. Yeah. If you don't have that guy, you can't win. Rams and Lions.
I like the Rams in an upset.
I agree. I took the Rams also. The Rams have played as good as anybody in the NFL in the second half.
Well, first of all, as somebody who's been in that stadium, once you find your way to the field, that stadium is a maze underneath. Like, okay, turn left, turn right, turn left. I'm going with Detroit. Why not? Let's have some fun. Detroit.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, it's in Detroit, so they should win. I love the coach. Do you ever see that video with the defensive end singing the Michael Jackson song?
No.
Hutchinson when he's a rookie. Google it. It's hilarious. So good. The guy can sing and he can dance.
Place
went nuts. You know when the rookies have to sing?
Yeah.
It's his thing. Just Google it. It'll come right up. Hutchinson singing. I think it was on Hard Knocks, as a matter of fact. So. Anyway, final game. Eagles, Bucks.
This pains me, but I think the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles will. I don't know. They got a lot of problems right now internally, but they're just a better team than the Bucks. Eagles.
Tampa Bay.
Really?
Yep, I think their defense
Baker
is really...
Mayfield, that's a good for you.
I mean, I think their defense is really, really good. I think the Eagles' defense is not good. And the Eagles need to play with the lead in this game. If the Eagles are not in front in the third quarter, that's where the mental collapse could happen.
You remember last year when they would struggle? Who would they put in the backfield?
Yeah, Miles Sanders.
Yeah, and he's gone. That's the thing that's missing with them, I think. You know, because he just made plays happen. And, you know, the play wasn't there, but he found a way to make it happen. And they let him go. Now they can't win. So.
Well, it was a team that desperately needed a week off to settle everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and for Jordan Davis just to breathe. But they didn't get it. They had to play right away.
Well, they got the veteran leadership. They got to figure it out. But I personally think they can beat Tampa Bay. But we'll see.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay. I'm taking Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, what the heck if the Cardinals and the Giants can beat them back-to-back? I don't see why Tampa Bay can't.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. The Giants are bizarre, so whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Sorry I was late.
Thanks.
I got tied up.
Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.